What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the Ask a CISP podcast. So this is a weekly episode to go with the other side of the firewall, where we talk about the latest and greatest in cybersecurity news, as well as we highlight those movers and shakers and glass ceiling breakers, those people of color who made it to the other side of the proverbial firewall. With me today, returning guest, Sam Brown. So we had Sam Brown on actually not too long ago. I want to say maybe it's been like 3, maybe 4 months. Since we had you on, and I'm super excited. We had a really good conversation last time. So for all those who are catching up, please go back and watch the initial interview with Sam Brown. He is a national speaker, best-selling author, award-winning philanthropist, and he is the CEO of Faith and Effort. He's doing big things. So last time we spoke, you were in the process of finishing up your book. So now I see it behind you on the shelf. Congratulations. You're definitely doing big things. So I definitely just want to catch up. So let's talk about a little bit of your background that brought you into your current organization and what you do, like you're CEO of a company. So your entrepreneurship, there we go. And then you being an author and kind of that process. We talked a little bit offline and I was already like, no, I don't want to burn the material. Like it's already inspiring me. So I definitely want to jump into that. And then we can talk about your future initiatives. So with that being said, I'd like to start a little bit with your background.
Yeah. So one, again, man, appreciate you having me back. It's always good to just have conversations on podcasts, especially conversations with other Black men that are doing amazing things in this world, setting the standards, creating the standards, breaking the old standards. So so again, for those listening, a little bit about me. My name is Sam Brown. I travel as a speaker throughout the United States, impacting mainly high school, college-age students around like leadership development, mindset development, and of course, and it's the title of my book, like becoming your best self by growing through what you go through, where I share my story. I share the different things that I've been through and how I've gotten to this point in life. So outside of that, like, of course, with the keynotes, workshops are included, where we do a lot more hands-on deep dive, like education and implementation work of like leadership development, mindset development, collaborating within teams, different things like that. But as of recent, I'm actually working on my curriculum that I'll be marketing to high schools and middle schools. That's going to really focus on social development strategy, which is the 5 protective factors that allow young people to become positive adults, awesome. As well as like leadership development, mindset development, and of course, like, how can you become the person that you desire to be, identity, right? So all of this is going to be put together in a curriculum that's going to be based off of my book, Growing Through What You Go Through, with a mixture of some scientific, strategies and things that have been proven throughout history around youth development. So, yeah, man, that's what I've been up to. And my book, when I released it on September 12th of last year, my birthday, it became best-selling book in the categories of young adults and teens around self-esteem and personal development on Amazon. So it's also a best-selling book as well.
That's awesome. So yeah, we're kind of talking about it before on the podcast. If you could just refresh our memories on what inspired the title of the book.
Yeah, so what inspired the title of the book is actually like the backstory of how the book actually became what it was, and how I actually became an author, because it's like the title of Grow Through What You Go Through is a representation of what my life has been. I have been through so many different storms in life, so many different things, but I wouldn't be the person I am today without going through those storms and going through those challenges and hurdles. So funny thing, I didn't want to write a book because I didn't see myself as an author. And I think I think a lot of people in this world, they don't become who they're supposed to be because they don't see themselves as that person. And for me, being an author, I didn't see myself as an author. So the whole title, Grow Through What You Go Through, I had to grow through the storm of like identity issues around, like, are people going to like my book? Are they going to want to read it? I even have something worth saying? And then something dawned on me by saying you're speaking. Like, people pay you to speak. So why wouldn't they pay you to read their book? So for me, it took me 3 years to identify as an author, but it only took me 31 days to write the book.
See, and that's what blew my mind, right? So when it comes to the author process, I think you were one of many authors I've had on, not because I was picking authors, but just because a lot of it seems to be a lot of entrepreneurs who have the skills to speak in public, who are in education and things of that nature. So like with Youth for Education, it's almost not a clear cut path, but it's definitely a path to becoming an author and then actually sitting down. So in my mind, when it comes to potentially writing a book, I think it's daunting, right? It feels like a wall that will be insurmountable. It's like, how do I take what I want to say, make it palatable, right? Make it interesting, and then also make it worth the purchase. And like you said, it took you 3 years to build that courage. It only took you 31 days, which that's crazy to me. And now, obviously, best-selling author. So obviously, in between the 3 years and the 31 days, like how do you sit there and craft it? Like, is it already mapped out in your mind? Are you writing drafts? Like how does that whole process work for you?
Yeah. So honestly, I actually wrote a book during the pandemic and I didn't release it. It was very much we're in the pandemic. My job is letting me go. I'm in this full-fledged entrepreneurship mode. Like, let me create something. And honestly, when I go back and if I look at it, like, I feel like that can be my next book because it has so much value to it. It was the identity part that I just didn't see myself as an author, see myself worthy of, like, writing. Because my fear always was, what if I write this book and only like my uncles and aunts and
your family.
But once I got to the point of, okay, I can see myself as an author. Okay, let's make sure we, let's lock in. Right. So during those 31 days, I made a promise to myself. I said I will write every day. Like, for 31 days straight, I wrote every day. And you can ask my fiance, it'll be times I'm coming in bed like 1, 2 in the morning because I forced myself, and not in a negative way, but I pushed myself to write. Because what I told myself was, this can be done if you write every day. Now, I wrote the book and I finished it in those 31 days. And what helped me was, I just took all the information that I speak on. And I'm like, what do I speak on the most? What am I most knowledgeable? What do I feel the most compelled? Because I think part of the interesting piece of, like, the book, right? Like, what is going to make people interested in the book? If I speak on things that I am passionate about, that I love, that I want to focus on, that I share stories that I know have already touched lives and had people, start to make changes and shifts in their lives, then it's like, okay, I can focus on that. So what I did was I took the top topics that I talk about and then I made chapter titles out of it. And then I took either my favorite quotes or quotes that I've said in speeches. Right. And I went through all of my content, all of my material. I basically did an audit of my Instagram, my social medias, my workshops, my speaker proposals, different things like that. And I came up with a list of chapters and I said, I'm going to write a chapter a day. I'm going to write one chapter a day. Some days were easier than others. Some days I was flowing, I was moving. Some days I just couldn't think. And I had to take a moment, take a break away from it. And then I came back to it. And then ultimately, like, I didn't stop there, right? Because one thing, when I think about a book, right, I'm thinking about my audience. I'm thinking about who is this going to serve. This is young adults between the ages of 18 to 30, mainly. Now, everyone is, of course, is able to read and can be impacted by it, but we had to have a target. So that's my target. Then I realized, okay, that they just need something. They need no fluff, all just like all work. So like the book doesn't have any fluff. It's just straight work. So the chapters are not very long. So it's easy. It's an easy read, not a lot of large words. And then at the end of every chapter is a growth assignment. So you read what you learn, and then you apply it in real time. So by the end of the book, you have grown like in a way where like now you know that this book made sense and it actually impacted me, because I wrote it based on what would I want, right, at that time. I just need something to get me to that next level. I need a tip, a strategy, something that's going to be a game changer for me. But I also want to grow in the moment, because I read books and I'm like, wait, what did I learn from the book?
Right. What did you gain? What value was added by reading this book?
So that was my process. So after that, of course, it took time to get editing, the book cover, different things like that. Even a book cover was very intentional. It wasn't just something I just thought of. Like, every aspect that went into the creation of the book cover was my idea and what I thought of. Because gotcha. I wanted people to understand what does grow through, what you go through actually mean.
No, that's awesome. So I try to put myself in the shoes of the audience, right? I want to ask the questions that they might potentially ask. And I don't like to come overly prepared for a conversation with someone, so that way I can hopefully glean something from the conversation. Like you said, like that you dropped a couple gems. So for me, what I immediately pick up is repurposing your content, right? Mm-hmm. So you said you're going to audit through your content. I mean, it sounds so simple, but I am also on the fence. Like, I do want to write at some point. I want to write a book. I think people who are very well spoken, like yourself, people who aren't into public speaking, in my mind, I'm like, oh, it must be easier, in quotation marks, to put that on paper and then convey your message. But then when I also think about it, I have hundreds of hours of me just rambling on. Like, there's some gems out there. I just have to go through, like you said, the audit. That makes perfect sense to me. Like, I need to go through the audit and, like you said, pick out those topics I think would be the most interesting or the things that I'm looking for. Because the second takeaway I got from it was you put yourself into the shoes of your reader or your audience. Like you said, what would I want to glean from this? How will this help me grow? And then in essence, by doing so, you're growing as the author and as the consumer of the product. So, I mean, that's genius. It inspires me. It doesn't inspire me to write in 31 days, but it makes me want to try.
Yeah, for me, I also had like pushes from like some, like I had like a couple friends that wanted to write, and we all were in a group chat.
Okay.
So it was almost like friendly competition, friendly motivation for me to write it and like just go, because there was a couple of reasons why I also wanted to write it in 31 days, because one, I knew it was possible. Two, I knew I didn't want to write a very lengthy book. But then three, I was actually entering a time of speaking where having a book is a great leveraging tool. Like, the same way I wanted to accomplish this thing on my list, I understood as a speaker that was my next level. Because, honestly, in the space that I'm in, if we're being honest, notoriety, right? When you start going out where you spoke at, what you had to offer, for some reason, it's like when you become an author, it's like people just think what you had to say is worth even more. So, like, also understanding, like, I wanted this, but also this is the next level of my development as a speaker, is to write a book.
Right. You had to clear that milestone for the next, whatever that thing being, right? So, no, that's really smart, right? Especially coming from the entrepreneur side of the house. You understand the process. Like, if I want to get up here, right, to whatever the pinnacle is, here are the gates or the boxes that have to be checked. But writing a book is a pretty hefty gate. I'm just going to say that off the rip. And then on top of it, like, now you're also a best-selling author. So you Like you not only accomplished the check mark, so to speak, in quotation marks, but you blew it out the water. So with that, and I want to go back to your book cover, but with that, because I have this idea in my mind. How do you top that? Like, has that caused you to say, well, has it given you more confidence that I've cleared two gates or two milestones in one pop? And it's inspiring, or is it kind of like, what do I do next? Like, do you already have another goal set for, like, okay, this is what I need to accomplish next? Or you're kind of like, I don't have to prove myself, so to speak, because I've already proven myself.
Yeah, so for me, one thing, God rest his soul, my grandfather, like, and I shared this, I think, the last time we spoke, is, like, every time I would come in the house, like, when I first started this entrepreneurship journey, I would be like, Grandpa, I just started a business. What's next? Grandpa, I just, like, started my own clothing line. Like, I got faith and effort on the shirt people are buying. It was that, God, just sold out in a day. I got my first gig where people are paying me, like, and he always, like, one day I was like, yo, are you ever going to be happy, like, for me accomplishing that? And he sat me down and he said, I'm always proud, but I don't want you to get comfortable with the level that you're at. And he told me, he said, your ceiling is your next floor.
Okay.
When it comes to the book, right, writing it was my ceiling, right? Publishing it was the next one. Best-selling author was the next one. So for me, the next step with the book, and we'll dive in more to it when we talk about, you know, what I got going on brewing, is I'm turning the book into a curriculum, because I feel like the book has everything needed to help teens and young adults really start to figure out their identity, really start to develop personally, develop professionally, become the best version of themselves, rip off the labels that people have labeled them and told them what they can and cannot do and can and cannot be. It has everything needed that all I have to do is now extract it. The same way I extracted my content and create the book, I'm going to extract the content from the book and create some curriculum that now is going to be licensed in schools for 8-10 weeks, a whole entire school year. Because that's always been a goal for me, is that speaking is great. Going in doing workshops for a day, for a couple of days, even a week, working with a camp is great. But when I think about long-term impact and really inspiring and equipping the next generation to combat everything that they're going to experience in life, curriculum is a way to go, because curriculum is long term. Curriculum is built in our education systems.
Right.
And for me, it's like the radical mind that I'm in, I want to destroy the current education system that we are having in the public schools, especially inner city, or especially schools that teach black and brown kids, right? It's very much like, how can I insert myself and create a shift in the tide of how they are learning, and go through is going to be that with the curriculum that I create, again, around social development strategy, mindset, leadership development, identity development, different things like that. So that's my next. And of course, like, I want to get my book in college campuses. Like, that's another big thing for me. I want to get it in college campuses. I want people to buy in bulk, and I want to, like, sell out every time I go and speak somewhere, which recently came back to North Carolina and I sold out all of my books before I even did my keynote.
Congratulations. No, that's amazing. So when it comes to the passion to touch the lives of others, is it more along the lines of, this is what you wish you had seen when you were going through the school system? Or is it that you were inspired by mentors that were providing this to you? Now you want to pass it along? Like, where does that come from? Or none of the above? Maybe it's just inherently to you.
Yeah, I, honestly, my work in the youth space and the young adult space, because even I consider youth up to the age of 25, in my opinion, because of, you know, how people develop and everything.
Right.
So growing up, like, I just didn't feel equipped as a young adult for life. Like, I might have been able to solve a math equation, write a paper, even though my grammar is still horrible. But the one thing I realized was, like, I wish I was more equipped for life, and I wouldn't have had so many times I would have gotten knocked down, right? It wasn't until about the age of 25, 26 when I really felt like, okay, I can manage what life throws at me. But that's always been, I just feel like the education system focuses on things that don't focus on, not everything. There's things that matter, right? So I'm not like saying the education system.
Right.
But it's more so like, there's a lot of stuff that don't matter that we're being taught. Like, even when I think about college, right? I think about our general education classes, like, that I had to take. Like, I had to take certain classes that had nothing to do with my degree, nothing to do with my major, nothing to do with my interests. I had to take, I remember I took classical music. I had no intention, but I needed to take a music class. Like, and for me, like, that alone is a small, like, representation of, like, how our education system, we focus on the wrong things.
Right, it's the standard, as opposed to being somewhat unique. Yeah, because I completely agree with you. Because I can remember the Pythagorean theorem. I've never used it in real life, but I can remember it, right? But when I received my first, when I opened my first bank account and received my first checkbook, I didn't even know how to use it. I had to go ask somebody else. I had to go to a friend, a family member, and say, how does this even work? How do I write a check? Like, why is that not taught in schools, right?
Yeah.
It's baffling.
Yeah, and again, it's a hill I die on, and it's a rabbit hole I could go down, but essentially, I view it as society is creating consumers. And the only way that we can create consumers is teaching how to consume information, consume things that don't really matter to us, but we think that they do. And then we regurgitate, Like, our school system isn't built for retaining information. It's built for regurgitating information. And I want to build a curriculum that's meant to help people retain. So in 5 years, you can reflect on, oh yeah, I remember this. This is how I can apply it to in life. Versus like, when you think about it, you took the test, right? You studied for that test. Soon as the test was over, you didn't.
Oh, you dumped it. Yeah.
You don't remember anything. You don't care about it. You throw your notes away. You throw the study material away. Versus like, if I'm teaching you how to navigate life, how to navigate like stuff around like mental health, how to have a 1% mentality, how to, you know, make your best even better, shadow boxing, right? How to overcome the urges that your old version of yourself is trying to have. Like, that's development. Those are tools that you can use in life. So when you get hit with that temptation of going back to or reverting back to your old ways when you're trying to progress in life, you had the tools now. So that's why I want to create a curriculum that focuses on how can I help you develop personally? Because if you can develop personally and become the best version of yourself, it's going to impact everything that you touch. It's going to impact your environment that you put yourself in. It's going to impact your decision making, which ultimately creates a better life for you. So you're not stuck in the same hamster wheel for years until you realize, wow, I'm on a hamster.
No, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. And I like what you said about young adult being up to the age of 25, right? Because I've often had conversations with my wife and other family members when it comes to younger people in the family. I'm like, usually I give them time to grow. Like, they're out here, they're gonna do some wild stuff, but you're not fully developed. You don't have any life experience. Like, you may have some life experience, right? Depending on how you grew up and things of that nature, but a lot of people can't learn vicariously. They can't just see someone do something and have to experience it themselves. And there's not a lot of runway to the age of 18, right? Because you only have so much leeway before you get there. So then what happens those years afterward? We're like, oh, they should have it together. They're an adult now. That's not the case. They're still learning, right? They were just a child. And now they're still getting those building blocks, right? How do bills work? How do I, you know, work on my whatever, like from vehicle to taxes to, you know, savings and things of that nature, which when I was 24, 25, I was figuring out the world still, right? So I think that's inspiring. And it also brought to my mind, I'm paraphrasing, right? I can't remember the quote, but there was an interview they had with Jay-Z, because Jay-Z has billionaires underneath him, right? Like, so he became a self-made billionaire, so to speak. And now he has Rihanna, he has Kanye, he has other people who are his proteges that are also billionaires. And he was asked in the interview, like, how did you make that happen? And I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the effect of, I taught them the things that were the most important to me when I needed them the most and I didn't have them. So I gave them, like you said, I cut out the fluff and I gave them all the good stuff, and they were able to take that and enact it. So I think what you're doing is phenomenal, and I can't wait to see it be brought into schools, because and I'm not knocking schools. I think teachers are amazing. I think curriculums are the best they can be to a certain extent, mm-hmm. With funding. But at the same time, like programs like yours, or I had on Matthew Hill a couple weeks ago with We Gonna Learn Today. He is teaching Black history, right? He's making it interactive and interesting. Just the things are mm-hmm. nice, helping to bring that curriculum in to say that, no, we don't just need to teach this in February. We need to teach this year round, right? Like, Black history is American history. We're Americans. We built this place. So let's talk about that as well.
And like, the one thing I want to say before we move on to the next thing is, like, just imagine, right? All throughout life, we're being, because I say the ages of 18 and 30 is like the forgotten mm-hmm. age, right? People forget about the support. When you think about it, up until that age of 18, you're being supported. You have your hand being held. So it's like, why stop when honestly you probably need the most support, right?
Right.
You probably need, because you are going through something that you've never experienced. Like, I think once you get into your late 20s, like, there's only but so much newness to life that you gotta experience, right? As far as like an uphill development battle, right. Versus like when you're a baby, right? You gotta learn how to walk. You gotta learn how to feed yourself. You gotta learn how to go to the bathroom. When you are an adolescent, a young adolescent, you're learning how to ride the bike. You're learning how to spell, how to read, how to do these different things. When you're a preteen, young and teenager, you're like now going through puberty. You're trying to navigate, you know, what does it mean to, like, you know, start interacting with humans in a different way. Driving, getting your first job, right? All of these different things. But when you hit 18, 19, 20, you're like bills, owning your first apartment, decision making, because up until that point, everyone's making decisions for you.
Right.
But why at that point do we then say, figure it out?
You just take your hands off the wheel.
Like, you really, really need it. And especially right. in our community, it's like we quit to kick our kids out at 18, right? Or we quit to say you're an adult, right? And society's like pushing people becoming an adult younger and younger, but it's like, yo, like, there's only, like, you still need help. And I just want right. anyone listening that either has a child or work with young people in that age range, they still need help, maybe even more help than ever before, because they now have been given all of this responsibility at one time. Of course they're going to make mistakes. Of course they're not going to do things right. But I remember so many mistakes between the ages of 18 to 25 that I made because I had to make a decision. I didn't know right. how to make those decisions. So that's why I want to be in the space that I'm in, to let those young people know, like, it's okay to not know. And it's okay to get the help that you need. And it's okay to provide the help.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's it is crazy to think about it, right? Like, everybody's helping you out, and then at 18, they're like, you're an adult now. And that's when your permanent record is, like, you have a real permanent record at that point. Like, you mm-hmm. can face really bad consequences. It's like, why do you keep making bad decisions? Well, it's my first time making decisions.
Right. Exactly.
So, no, I think that's great. So, I wanted to, before we move on, I want to circle back to the cover of your book. So, if you can just explain what it means, what you're going for, and, you know, why was it so intentional for you to make it the way it is?
Yeah. So one, I want to just start with like the color and how it goes from like grayish to black, right? Growth can be is a very gray area type of thing, right? It's never black or white. Growth is never clear. It's never black or white. It's never a certain way to grow, right? Everyone grows differently. Right. That's number one. Number two, the roads, right? And how it's growing out of a concrete sidewalk. I want people to understand that the roads represents true growth, right? We grow in environments that we're not supposed to grow in, right? If a rose is in a field full of roses, full of other flowers, you say it belongs there. It's supposed to grow, right? But when you see a rose grow through concrete and the sidewalk, right, you're like, how did it happen? Then also when you think about concrete, right, like pushing through concrete, growing up through concrete, you're going through the resistance that you're going to be met when you're growing, right? So I want people to understand, like, the rose represents you as an individual, and the only way to truly, like, grow into the person that you're supposed to be, you have to be uncomfortable. Because before you can get comfortable, you have to be uncomfortable. Like, and then the petals at the bottom represent you shedding the old versions of yourself, right? Because I want people to understand that it's okay to not be the same person that you were a couple months ago, especially when you're trying to grow and develop. And you have to understand that you have to shed. It's the part of the process. You can't have old ways and try to become a new version of yourself, especially when those old ways are basically going against who you're trying to become, right? So, for example, if you're trying to become a person that wants to tell the truth more, you got to stop lying. You can't lie sometimes. Oh, I'm going to just cut down on my... Like, no, like, if you want to become that person, and for me, like, you know, wanting to become the man that I am today, right? I had to shed old versions of myself that was going against it. And then lastly, it's hard to see, but like the words are like distressed to represent growth is not pretty. You're going to have scars. You're going to have marks. You're going to get knocked down, but it doesn't matter that you got knocked down 9 times. As long as you get back up that 10th time, you can have all the scars in the world. You can have all the marks in the world. So that's what the cover represented. And that's why I wanted people to understand that growth and what was is growth is a process that is ugly. Growth is a process that is hard. Growth is a process that is difficult, but just because it's difficult does not mean it's not doable. And that's what I want people to understand is like, relatively speaking, growth is hard. It's difficult, but it's doable. You know, it's also difficult staying the same. Like, one of my favorite quotes is, the pain of staying the same has to be greater than the pain of change. The pain of staying the same has to be greater than the pain to change, because both are painful, but you got to pick your pain point. You got to pick what pain do you want to deal with? And for me, it got to a point where I didn't want to stay the same. The pain of staying the same, going through the same issues over and over and over again, was harder than giving up certain things in life, was harder than deciding to, you know what, I'm going to stay up to 12, 1 o'clock after working all day to write this book. Because I knew I could go to sleep, I could not do it, but the pain of not having the book out was worse than the pain of like giving up a couple hours of sleep, right? So that's what I want people to understand when they see the cover. I wanted them to see what the book is about before they even open it up.
No, that's great. And I did get that from looking at it, right? Because I got the visual representation of the rose growing through concrete when I saw it. And I was like, man, that's really good. So just you breaking it down and just the symbolism and even down to the color palette is pretty amazing to see your thought process, right? Because then that goes into like what the book represents. So I can already glean some things about the book just by looking at its cover. And people do judge a book by its cover. I mean, that adage is for real. Like, I'll look at a book and I'm like, I'm not reading it.
Yeah.
It could be full of great content, but like the cover is what I'm going to look at first to say, like, is this worth my time? Like, is it going to have something interesting in it that's going to be worth the time of me sitting there and consuming it? I'm already getting that from just from the scene at a glance. I'm just like, yeah, I want to read that.
So, yeah, for sure, man. Yeah,
so, no, that's great.
The cover, just tell me about the cover, because I needed to be intentional through and through, because I was intentional with the content, so I need to be intentional with the cover as well, too.
That makes sense. And especially with you, so it's repurposing and then repurposing again, right? I think a lot can be said about that in itself, because if you are a content creator, you're putting your whatever into it, right? Whether it be your passion or your time, or you're giving up something to make content, right? Because it's not free. Either you're giving up time or money or both. Mm-hmm. But for you to be able to use that content in multiple different ways, right? Like to hit different targets and demographics, I think is understated. Like that should be the goal of all content creators. Like, how can I repurpose this? Because a lot of people are like, well, I already used this somewhere. Well, yeah, you used it in an instance. But what else can it be? Like, what can you expound upon? What have you learned that you can attach to it? Like, and to, like you say, grow and then be able to convey that to someone else. So no, I applaud you for all the above. And I can't wait to see your next effort, which is your first effort, right? So you have that baby you made. I can't wait to see you put it out there. Right. To the world. So that's amazing. Okay. So we talked a little bit about your background. We talked about you as an entrepreneur already visualizing, okay, this is my next gate. This is what I need to do next. This is where I need to go from here. So you have your company. You've written the book. You're a keynote speaker. Now you also have, like you said, notoriety as well on top of it. Being an author, just being an author off the rip, but then being a best-selling author. And now you're trying to take those gems, right? And then be able to hit different demographics, like get into the school system, put it in the college campuses, get in those people's hands. Aren't you tired? Like, is it the drive that gives you the energy, or is it the being inquisitive, right? Like, it's like, what else can I do with this? Or else can I go? Like, which one or both are keeping you going? Because 31 days writing the book, losing sleep. I know you're probably more extroverted than me, because like public speaking for me, I could do it, but then I need to recharge.
Listen, man, 1,000%. So I always say, I don't know the exact term, but like, I'm an extrovert until I run out of energy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Gotcha.
So, like, I'll go and do a camp, right? And I'll be with the students from 8 a.m. to, like, 3, 4. Eat dinner with them, joke with them, laugh with them. 8 o'clock hit when I get to go back to my room. Listen, I'm not trying to talk to nobody. I need time to recharge. So, for me, it's like, what keeps me going with this is a few things. The first is, I remember one time I got like an email, and it was like from Social Security, and it was like, calculate how much you'll get from us when you retire.
Oh, yeah.
And it said $1,200, and I said,
that's eye-opening, isn't it? Like, you know, a lot of people don't know about that. Like, again, you're dropping those gems. So for anyone who's listening who has not done that, you can find out right now. You can do a projection of what they're going to pay you if that money's even there. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like, I'm never going to be able to retire.
Yeah. And so, like, once I realized that, I'm like, well, working traditionally isn't going to get me there, right?
Right.
And then, like, me also having a calling that I feel from God because of what I've experienced. And I always tell people this. Your story is not just for you. It can save someone's life. So I think everyone has a story, and you never know whoever you talk to what it can do for them. And I'll give an example. The first time I really started to travel and started to do some bigger speaking events, I remember I went to Center, Colorado. Never heard of Center, Colorado in my life. I'm speaking to kids that don't even look like me. 35 minutes keynote. Afterwards, Mr., can you sign this for me? And then I remember I was signing stuff, which was a dope experience. And I ran into this young lady at the end when I was about to leave. And she just said, I want to thank you because what you shared today made me realize that it's going to be okay. And it was like, she said I was struggling with trying to figure out what I'm gonna do in life and how I'm gonna go on with the different things she's been through, and she shared what she's been through. And then she just says, like, because of you, like, I know I can make it. And so that calling in life for me makes me keep going, because I know I had yet to reach any, like, as much as people are supposed to reach. And then, of course, even, like, hearing from people, I met someone when I was in North Carolina last week, and she was 65 years old, and she said, I've heard many stories in my life. I've heard many people share who they are, and I've never been impacted by like I have with you. So me knowing my calling is to impact the human species, the human beings, anybody I can come across, anybody I could talk to. It is random. I will pull up on a kid selling Gatorade, like, and just give a word of advice, like, hey, listen, I don't want to buy no products. They take this money, like, invest it, do X, Y, Z, just keep going. So, like, even stuff like that, when I'm able to just have small moments, intimate moments with people, like, I understand, like, I'm meant to do it, right? Because there was a certain point in my life where I didn't have a voice. I didn't talk. I didn't believe in myself. I felt like life wasn't meaningful, that I didn't have a purpose, I didn't have a sense of direction, and it took someone to really instill that in me. So I always told myself, I'm going to become an adult, I'm going to create that program that's going to help someone see that there's more to their life, that they can rip off the label that everyone has given them and really become the person that they want, no matter what they've experienced, because my story has the death of my parents, has it being kicked out of school, has mental health issues and depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts. So when I speak and I share that story, it touches so many different people, because my story hits so many different angles, and for them to see where I'm at, most people would look at me and think I've never been through anything because how I carry myself, because I smile, I'm happy, I make jokes, I do all these different things. And then when I share, they're like, wow, I wouldn't even have ever guessed. Like, how are you this happy? It's because I understand, like, I have a purpose in life. I have a passion. So that's what really keeps me going, man. And I really look at my job, because I still work at 9 to 5. I work as a high school internship program lead, where I help 40 amazing seniors navigate their senior year, navigate their first internships. But I'm realizing, like, by being at a job and doing the things that I want to do, I'm capped. People always have limitations. So for me, with this business, I create my own limitations, which I don't have any. So that's the last reason what keeps me going, is because I don't want to be, I'm very radical. Like, I'm very radical. If I don't agree with something, I'm going to say it, speak on it, or I'm going to just do what I want to do. And I get in trouble at work sometimes for it, but
right,
I understand what needs to get done, and I'm not going to allow your limiting beliefs on what shouldn't be happening for these young people be the reason why I do something. So that's why I still push myself to go hard every day and to write a curriculum and to shoot my shot on LinkedIn and to reach out and to get all these no's just to get a yes, because I always tell people, them 10 no's financially don't even touch that one yes. So, and impact wise, like, I've spoken in front of 5,000 people, but I've had so many no's where it would have been 20 people. So it's also like that too. So that's what people all meant.
No, that definitely resonates with me. So, anecdotally, right? Like, before we recorded, so I poor schedule on my part. I didn't know my youngest had a field trip today that I volunteered to chaperone, right? So, picture me at a skating rink with like 150 third graders. It's like kid Vietnam, right? They're screaming, there's flailing and falling. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no one knows how to skate, which is understandable. They're banging their heads, they're crying. And I was like, I got an interview at 7. I don't know if I'm going to have it in me. And I was having a good time, right? You know, I'm helping the kids. I'm trying to, you know, make sure everybody is safe and having fun and what have you. But what did ramp me back up was like, I'm going to talk to Sam about his book. It's going to inspire me. I know he's going to have a word to pass on to the audience, and he's going to have those gems. And just like that, like, I was back at it, right? Like, I'm probably going to crash after this. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to edit any of this.
Listen, man, I'm going to crash after this. I'm going to eat, put my feet up.
But it was definitely worth it. Like, this time flew by, right? Like, I always aim for the sweet spots between 40 and 45 minutes, usually keep people's attention and whatnot. But you just kept hitting us with the gems, right? And as I'm listening, I moved to this new platform, I'm listening for clips. I'm like, you know, the AI is going to do its thing, but I know better. And as you're speaking, I'm like, ah, man, that's one. I'm like, this is evergreen material, right? And I think it will help to, like, you like just like the cover of your book, it pulls people in. It's like, okay, I need to get people to get to these gems, right? How am I going to do that? And I've been trying to be more purposeful in it and intent with my content as well. Just with speaking with you and other people I've met through either my LinkedIn or through the Black Speaker Network, right? That's how I got you. That's how I got Alan Wesley. It's an amazing platform. And now you are again. You're on the second time. I had Alan Wesley on another time. Like, it's good to be surrounded by people who are passionate about their craft and to see their evolution, right? Like, so we talked earlier. You're already doing big things, but now book dropped. You're a best-selling author. You already have plans for the next one. You already have plans to try to repurpose that content and put it in the right hands to inspire others. So it's all worth it, right? Like, so if a person's out there who's listening to this and they don't necessarily feel like they have the imposter syndrome and what have you, like, I think talking to people like you will help push people through that barrier, right? Because, like you said, it's a limit that you put on yourself, and that ceiling will become your floor. And I'm going to steal that. I'm not going to put it in the book, though, because I don't want to get sued.
Listen, man,
I'm going to put that in the post.
Somebody said it to me. So listen, you could use it as much as you want, because, like, that was eye-opening for me. And it always helped me understand that I can make my best even better. There's no limitations. And, you know, Black people have been put in limitations physically, mentally, like, for our entire life. So I'm gonna teach everybody, like, there's no limitations to anything you could do. You just might have to take a little longer route,
right,
than other people, but you can get there. So I definitely feel that. And listen, man, use it as much as you want. Yeah, your ceiling, it will be your next floor.
That's definitely a word right there. But no, it's always a great time getting to speak with you. I was super excited when you decided to hit the button, because I pushed it out to everybody, right? I'm like, hey, I had you on the show. It was a great time. Like, come on back, right? Like, you know, I'm over here trying to improve and build an audience. And I think everyone, I've never spoken to someone and not had an interesting conversation with them just for myself, and then not had somebody leave a comment on the various places that we're currently at, right? YouTube and all the audio platforms. So you're definitely speaking to people, and it's good to just have a platform like yourself and your brand, and then be able to share it as much as possible. So I greatly appreciate you coming to the show to share it. Cause again, like, it's inspiring for me. I'm not going to write a book in 31 days, but I'm going to push past that barrier. Cause I've had a book in my mind for 4 years, but I've not put one word to paper. I'd have to push past that, even if it's no good.
Listen,
like, I just gotta get out.
I'll tell you, bro, like, one thing I did, man, I just wrote. I didn't care if it was a run-on sentence. I didn't care what it looked like, because you know what? I'm a hire editor. They take care of that. So what I'm telling you is, you just write, just write. Don't even reread it. Don't do any of that. Just write it,
okay.
write it, and write some more. I promise you, that's the only reason why I was able to do it. I wasn't looking at what I was like, oh, does this flow right? Does this look right? I waited till the editing process, and then I started to go back and, like, look at the sentences. But I just wrote. And again, I read a book that was 25 pages. So it's also like, the one thing someone told me was like, the length doesn't matter. Like, it's the impact and it's the content. So, like, you can write a guide. You can write, you know, like whatever it is. So don't also think like you got to write this book that's like,
right, War, like, War and Peace,
you know, some of these other books that I've been reading, like this thing, I was like, that's what really stopped. Oh, I can't write 200 pages.
Right.
But listen, man, like I just say, just write, don't think about it. And as thoughts come into your head, what also I did was I did voice notes and recorded it and then audio transcribe of it as well, too. So you can do stuff like that as well, too. So, like, those are my two strategies that helped me. And the 31-day push was, it got to a point my friends had wrote their books and I was supposed to write it. Because honestly, it was supposed to be like 90 days, but they wrote it. And I was like, oh, I got 30 days left before it's up. And I didn't want to lose the wager.
Oh, you, so you had to have one, right?
Yeah.
Unless all of you are best-selling offers.
Yeah.
Which could be. Hey, you got to surround yourself with people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I would say there's probably other people in your circle that want to write a book. Y'all get together. Y'all challenge each other. Y'all check in. Same way how people have gym check-ins. I also social media. Like, have a book check-in and through text. Like, hey, y'all write the day? Oh, yeah, I got a half a chapter. Like, and it's like, it's just motivation, man.
No, that's awesome. So before I let you go, and not to shift gears too hard, but I always like to end the episode with, what are you doing outside of work? What are you doing with your hobbies or with your family? Or what are you doing to help unwind? Because I think a lot of people get caught up on just the American work ethic, right? Like, I always have to be working. Even my hobbies have to be, you know, making me money of some sort. And I get that. And I respect people's grinds, but at the end of the day, I'm 40 now. So I like to do something for myself from time to time where I just get to chill. Mm. Like what are you doing to either relax? Are you reading something, watching something? Like, what are you doing?
So, yeah. So, a few things. One, my favorite thing to do is to go get some food, vibes. Like, it's getting warmer out now. So, like, listen, I went to midday, grab some food, maybe play on basketball, coming around playoffs, you know, go to like a sports bar or something. Right. I play video games. That's like another thing. I just like to hang out with my friends that are all over the world. We play games together. And lastly, with my fiance and I, we got our shows. So one of our favorite shows is Next Level Chef. Like, okay. Just like to really watch that. BMF is another one. And we had this other show, I'm blanking on it, but it's about like Jesus's life on earth. It's on Netflix, but
I don't know what that one is. Like, I need to add that to my list.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look it up.
It's The Chosen. The Chosen.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I did hear about it. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good as well too. So yeah. Like, if I'm not with the fiance watching some shows, if I'm not on 2K, catch me at somebody's food restaurant getting a chicken sandwich on a brioche bun with a bourbon drink and some fries and just watching some basketball, man. So that's what I do. It creates that balance for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, like, yes, work is absolutely necessary. Yeah, get on your grind, do what you need to do, but you will burn the candle at both ends will catch up on you. So I just like to put that out there. Like, you have to do something to help you unwind, regardless of how long, you know, it needs to be done. Like, everyone needs a break or a vacation. So now it's good to see that you also had it, right? Like, yeah, you can crank out a book in 30 days, which again is amazing, but you also take that time. So I like to show that balance. So no, that's great. So again, thank you very much for coming back on the show. Every time I talk to you, it's a great conversation, and it's motivational, right? Like, you need this as well as the audience needs this. Now we've changed things up, right? So we have a new format, right? We look a little bit prettier and what have you, but again, I'm trying to be more purposeful with that content. So I want everybody to definitely like, share, subscribe, all that stuff I always forget to say, regardless of what platform you're looking at, hit a bell, there's a bell involved. But also, I'm trying to catch people's attention who also like to read about whatever our topics are before they jump into the video or the audio. So we've now started to generate articles on LinkedIn as well as Medium for every episode. So this one will be accompanied with one as well, right? Just a quick rundown of what we talked about. And then within that article, we'll have the video and the audio embedded. So kind of a one-stop shop, right? So that way, you don't have to leave your current platform, and you're still able to look at our content. And I think it just helps not only to advertise, but it also helps to share these gems and things of that nature, right? Like I really want people to learn something, to glean something from this content. And that's why, like speaking to you about non-cybersecurity stuff, right? I think it's also really good for the audience. I'm not trying to be a Joe Rogan and have all the content and talk about all the things, but I think when it comes to our community and our demographic, it goes a long way to show like you can be anything. You could be the normal list of doctor, lawyer, all that good stuff, but you can also be an author. You can be a web designer. You can be a security architect. You could do all these things, even though there's not a lot of us in that space. So I think this content speaks well to that. So again, greatly appreciated. You can hit us up. All the websites that go by our name, The Other Side of the Firewall, or The Other Side of the FW, or Ask SSP, depending on what the platform allowed me to name it. And then you can hit me up personally. I'm at RyRy Security Guy. That's RyRy Security Guy. You can find me on LinkedIn, Clubhouse, Twitter, Threads, IG, and then Medium as well. And then where can they find you, Sam?
Yeah, so one, thank you for allowing me to be on the platform, man. I see the growth as well, same way you talked about the growth with me. Love the growth, love the new platform, love all the things you're doing with articles and embedding the videos in it. Like, streamline our process for a consumer, for someone that's just looking to get what they need is super amazing. So one, just super honored, super humble to be on here for a second time. Y'all can find me on LinkedIn, Samuel Brown, National Speaker. You can find me on YouTube, Samuel Brown, Instagram, at Faith and Effort. FAITHANDEFFORT. So you can check me out on those platforms. And if you're looking to book me or looking to get more information on what I do as a speaker, as a facilitator, as a curriculum developer, is www.faithandeffort.org. Y'all can check me out, hit me up, bring me out, and I do my thing. And then my book, if you're looking to grab a book, you can grab it at www.whatyougothrough.com, but through is spelled THRU, which I'll share all the websites.
Oh yeah, for people. Yeah, everything will be in the description below. But I definitely want you to vocalize where they can find you, because that is what you do, right? You are a keynote speaker, and then where to find your product. So. Perfect. But yeah, I have links. So go ahead and jump down to the description and hit those links to go ahead and definitely get that book on your shelf. Not only is it good to look at from cover perspective, but it's full of wisdom as well. Mm-hmm. So definitely
pick that up. And I'll sign it with a personal message to everyone that purchases a book. I always send a personal message in the book as well as the signature. Whether I know you or I don't, I just want to provide some additional encouragement as you're embarking on the journey of becoming the best version of yourself.
That's awesome. Okay. So yeah, just buy the book, people. All right. You heard the man in the personal message. He has all his wisdom. And just what he shared with us in 40 minutes, this thing was in that book. So purchase it, book him, fly him out, and get them to your events and what have you, because Sam has a lot to give you and your audience. So with that being said, again, hit us up by all the websites that go by our name. Hit me up personally. Hit up Sam. Hit all the links below. Stay safe. Stay secure.